Did you know that there is only one prophecy in all of the Bible that foretells the timing of the coming of the Messiah? So what prophecy foretold the timing of Jesus' first coming? The answer is the 70 weeks prophecy mentioned by the prophet Daniel. And we can find that in Daniel, the 9th chapter, and we'll read verses 24 through 27. So let's read in verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city. And remember that 70 weeks, that's a period of time, are determined upon your people and upon your holy city. Now, who was Daniel's people? Daniel's people were the Jews. And what was the holy city? Of course, that was Jerusalem. So this prophecy concerning 70 weeks has to do with the people, the Jewish people, and Jerusalem. And so it says, the 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So let's talk about the 70 weeks for just a moment. A prophetic week is 7 days, which equals 7 years, according to the day for a year principle found in Ezekiel the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6. This is in Ezekiel the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6. And this is where we find the principle about a day for a year. God is telling Ezekiel, lay on your left side. This represents the iniquity I will lay upon the house of Israel according to the number of the days that you lie there. For I have laid upon you the years of their iniquity. So he was supposed to lie on his side for a number of days, and that represents the years of their iniquity. So he says it's the years of your iniquity according to the number of the days. So that's 390 days. That means that obviously God was going to lay upon Israel iniquity for 390 years. And it says, after you have accomplished them, turn over and lay on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed you each day for a year. Okay, did you catch that? I have appointed you each day for a year. So the purpose of this program is not to talk about this particular prophecy in Ezekiel. The purpose of this program is to talk about the prophecy in Daniel 9, the 70 weeks prophecy. So let's go back to that now. But we understand that there's a day for a year in this principle of a prophetic week. Now, there are 7 days in a week. Therefore, if a day for a year is the principle that we're following, then 7 days equals 7 years in one prophetic week. So again, 7 days in a week equals 7 years. So one prophetic week equals 7 years. Therefore, when it talks about 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the city, the 70 weeks, we would have to say, is 70 times 7. Because there's 70 weeks, and the week has 7 days, so it's 70 times 70. 70 times 7, excuse me, and that means that it's 490. That's 490 days. Now, since we're doing a day for a year principle, 490 days would equal 490 years. So 490 years covers the time in which 6 things would happen to the Jews, which is referred to as your people, and Jerusalem, which is referred to as your holy city. And what 6 things were to happen? Well, again, this is in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. And it says, within these 490 years, these 6 things would happen. Finish the transgression. And this term, finish the transgression, equals restraining the nation from rebellion against God through a change of heart. The second one is make an end of sins, which means to forgive and forget sins, thus eliminating the destruction and death brought upon the nation by their sins. So God said that he would forgive and forget their sins, thus eliminating the destruction and death that's brought on by their sins. The third thing is he said that he would make reconciliation for iniquity, which means to bring the nation into union with God. Making reconciliation means to bring the nation into union with God. The fourth thing, bring in everlasting righteousness. This means to create a holy nation ruled by God, ruled with righteousness. The fifth thing, to anoint the most holy. And we know that the most holy is the Messiah. In fact, the word anoint means Messiah. Or we could say Messiah means anoint. So God says that he would anoint the most holy. And Messiah is recognized, therefore, as the prophet, the priest, the king, and everything else that Israel and the Jews were always waiting for. They were always waiting for a Messiah. They were always waiting for the prophet, the priest, the king, the ultimate one. And God said that he would anoint the most holy, meaning that he would give the people an opportunity to recognize Messiah as the prophet, the priest, and the king. And we'll talk more about these titles in a future program. And then the sixth thing is that he would seal up the vision and prophecy, which means that, again, as we've been saying in previous programs, since God said it, God did it. And that's what we should always remember. God said it, God did it. That's what sealing up the vision and prophecy means. It means that everything God said would happen through the Messiah was done through the Messiah. So now let's read in Hebrews the 8th chapter, verses 8 through 12. Hebrews the 8th chapter, verses 8 through 12. And we're going to see how Messiah fulfilled all six of these things when he came here and had his earthly ministry during his first coming. So this is in Hebrews the 8th chapter. We'll read verses 8 through 12. And this is just amazing, again, that all of these things were fulfilled to the T. God has the power to make these things happen. God said it, and God did it. And if he says these kind of things and did them, you know that in the future, everything God says, he will do. So again, this is Hebrews the 8th chapter, verses 8 through 12. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. This is your people, speaking of when it said to Daniel that this prophecy of 70 weeks would be determined upon your people and your city. So it says, God says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because they did not continue in my covenant. Therefore, I did not regard them. So this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. That's the part which says finishing the transgression, because God restrained the nation from rebellion against God through a change of heart. And this is how he changes their heart. He puts their laws into their minds and writes them in their hearts. So it's no longer written on two tables of stone. Now it's written on the two tables of their mind and their heart. And it says, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is making reconciliation for iniquity, bringing the nation into union with God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That is making an end of sins. God forgave their sins, and God even forgets their sins. Thus he eliminated the death and destruction that came as a result of the sins. This was all made possible through the Messiah. Now let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, because this has to do with, again, making reconciliation. Here it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, so notice that the fact is about Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray, therefore, in Christ's position, representing Christ, we pray that you will be reconciled to God. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us, though Jesus never sinned, and this was done so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. So this passage here talks about the reconciliation, where it says that God would make reconciliation for iniquity, and also that last part it says, this was done so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. That fulfilled the part where it says God would bring in everlasting righteousness, which means to create a holy nation ruled by God. And then in Luke the 4th chapter, verses 18 through 21, in Luke the 4th chapter, verses 18 through 21, this is a prophecy about how the Holy One, the Messiah, was anointed. It says here, and this is Jesus speaking of himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." As Jesus closed the book and gave it to the minister, he said to the crowd, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So Jesus Christ himself testified of himself that he was the anointed, and that in that day, as he spoke to them, the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, where it says that 70 weeks would be determined upon the Jews and upon Jerusalem, and that six things would happen, one of them being that the anointing of the Most Holy would happen within that 70-week period of time, which is 490 years. Indeed, Jesus Christ said that this day, when he spoke those words to them, that in that day, the scripture, that prophecy, had been fulfilled. And then in Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 38, we have another statement about Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, being the anointed one. This is in Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 38. And it says, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, was published throughout all Judea. It's obvious that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. After all, he went about doing good and healing all that were possessed of the devil, for God was with him." So again, Messiah means anointed. Christ means anointed. The Messiah, therefore, is the Christ. And for verification of that, you can read in John chapter 1, verse 41, where it says that the Messiah is the Christ. So Jesus Christ, the anointed, fulfilled the prophecy about the Holy One being anointed, and that is the Messiah. So when Jesus proclaimed on the cross, "It is finished," it meant that the Messiah had completed everything. He did all six things. He finished the transgression, made an end of sins, made reconciliation for iniquity, brought in everlasting righteousness, sealed up the vision and prophecy, and was anointed the Most Holy. But we still need to prove that this 70 weeks prophecy predicted the timing of Messiah's first coming. And we'll do that in our next program.